Good morning, church. My name is Dory. I'm not Pastor Ben. He is on vacation with his family, so I'll be speaking with you guys today. Usually, if you don't recognize my face, that's okay. I'm usually back in the kids' wing with all of the kiddos on a Sunday morning. But today, I get the pleasure of being with all of you. So I wanted to start with this video because this week was VBS, if you haven't heard. Now you know. And with that, we take an offering every year at VBS. We do boys versus girls. Whoever wins, either me or Pastor Harrison gets a pie in the face. That's normally how it goes. I'll tell you guys a secret. Every year, we both get pied in the face. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, but it's a really fun competition that we get to do with our kids. And this year, our offering went to Safe Families of Springfield and Decatur, Illinois. And this organization, like you saw in the video, is a Christian organization that just works to intercept families in crisis before they have to turn to programs like DCFS or other state-funded programs, and they give parents the opportunity to voluntarily give up their kiddos for a weekend, a month, 3 months, 4 months, however long they need to get back on their feet and get this crisis resolved. They take kiddos and place them with a family that's loving and supportive and wants to be there and help. And then as soon as the parents are ready, they get the kids back. So there's less of that waiting period. And like you saw, their reunification rate is amazing with this program. So that is what Safe Families is. We had the honor of having one of their representatives come last night, or Friday night. There's been a whole day since now in VBS. And Casey just talked to us about what Safe Families means and what she loves about the program, and she did give me some pamphlets. So if any of you are interested, needing assistance, or wanting to help on the hosting side of it, see me after service, and I will have some of those pamphlets to give you. We're doing a year offering for them, so our goal is $500. That provides all the needed assistance for one family for a one-month stay. So we're hoping to fund a family for 1 month through this children's ministry. They are about halfway to their goal already, which is crazy. They are just, yeah, they are putting in the work to get us to that $500 goal. All of the VBS will be added to that offering, and it was absolutely wonderful to be a part of. So before I get started in what our sermon is, I want to say another thank you to every single person in these pictures and not pictured that participated in VBS. As you can see, it was a crazy week. VBS brings out the silly and the goofy in everyone, and I love it. It was so much fun to be a part of, and I got hired 1 year ago this week-ish, and thank you guys as a church for just the amount of support and love you have shown me and my family as we have came into the Springfield community. This wouldn't have been possible without these faces, so thank you to all of them for serving our neighbors. These are our neighbors. This is our Springfield neighborhood. These are our kiddos that represent every part of Springfield, parts of Rochester, parts of Pleasant Plains, and every surrounding area that you can think of was shown at VBS. And we got to love on them, and then they, in turn, take that love and give it into their community, which is amazing. So thank you guys so much for loving on your neighbors. And I use the word neighbors here for a very specific reason. Does anyone like Scottish philosophers? Just me? Okay, it's a niche topic, and that's okay. But I read one earlier today. I'm a master's student, so I'm getting my master's in pastoral ministry. And it's a lot of reading, and a lot of Scottish philosophers, and Danish philosophers, and theologians, and people you've never heard of, and that's okay. But there's one guy by the name of Soren Kierkegaard, who came straight out of Scotland, and he wrote a book called Love Works. And in this, it talks all about how we're supposed to love and what we're supposed to be with love. His top two inspirations are Socrates and Jesus Christ. What a lineup, right? Socrates and Jesus Christ, obviously one way above the other, but both amazing thinkers, both very esteemed by people in the world. And so these are his inspirations. And he said in his book, if you confuse another man with your neighbor, then your last analysis, there is no mistake. For the other man is also your neighbor. It is your fault if you will not understand who your neighbor is. And I want to say thank you to our volunteers because we got who our neighbors are this week. We understood the assignment. We found our neighbors. We got to serve our neighbors. And we had a wonderful time doing it. So thank you guys for recognizing your neighbors and being there to serve them. So serving comes with a lot of faith, because as we were signing up for VBS, we didn't know how many to expect. Of course, we do pre-registration, and we try our best to get a number of heads that we're going to expect, but we have honestly no idea. We can have families show up last minute. We could have families who registered not show up, and that's okay too. So it takes a lot of faith to step into this assignment and say, yes, I'll lead the craft, even though I have absolutely no idea what it's going to look like all week. I will step into that, and I will be that person. Thank you for leading the way that you guys did this week. I really appreciate it, and you guys had so much faith that just showed how good our God is. I chose this picture specifically because this guy, we're besties, we're best friends, right? And he is one of the funnest kids I've ever met. He jumps without looking, and he has the faith that is so big. When you talk to him, you know God is moving in his life. And one of our photographer got this photo of him, and I think it just shows so much of what faith is. It's jumping without looking. It's understanding that there will be a slide at the bottom, and even if there is, I'm going to pop back up and continue the relay anyways because it really doesn't matter. And he shows this faith every single day. So here's this fun photo that you guys also get to see today. Faith is titled as four things in the Bible. A lot more than that, but I chose four to focus on. It is essential. It is a gift from God, so it comes from God. We can use it as a shield against things going on in our life, and it's childlike. So it starts out as essential because we have a relationship with God where we recognize that God is the authority. We love God so much that we have accepted into a relationship with him, and we have faith. We believe, even if we do not see, that he is good and he is ready to help us no matter what. That is the essential part of this faith. Faith at the basic level is believing what you do not see. And this definition just shows how much we use faith in our daily life. We believe that God is good. We believe that he rose from the dead. We believe that Jesus walked the earth, even though, as far as I know, none of us were there to see it. We believe all of these things, and it is essential to this relationship with God. And there's a reference there if you want to look at that. Next, it comes from God. It was a gift that was given to us by Jesus Christ, by God, that all we have to do is accept. We didn't do anything to get this gift, and yet all we have to do is say, thank you so much, I will take care of this, I will use this well, and it's ours. That is so awesome. It comes straight from God. Next, faith is a shield. When you are having a really tough time, you can hold up faith that God loves me, I love God, and therefore I'm supposed to love you, right? That's what our faith reads. You can hold this up no matter what is happening in your life and go, it's okay, God loves me, I love God, and I love you. Those three things give us that shield from all the battles that we fight, because life is hard. It is super, super hard, and we get tired, and we get bummed out, and we get exhausted, but that's okay, because we have this shield that we can hide behind when we need it, that God loves me, I love God, and I love you. My neighbor. And lastly, faith is childlike. Tim read one of the passages in the Bible today that shows how much Jesus accepted children and embraced them and called us to be his children. And I want to elaborate on this a little bit. And often this can get confused with childlike, as in Peter Pan, like never growing up. But that's not what this is at all. Instead, faith of a child is so much bigger than that. And we will jump into that. But before we do, I do want to talk about a common misconception, which is childlike versus childish faith. And Paul was writing to the Corinthians. He was a traveling evangelist. He dealt with a lot of people that didn't like him. He tried his best, and he wrote a pretty good chunk of the New Testament. So Paul in 1 Corinthians wrote, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, babies in Christ. Imagine opening a letter and like that's the first line. Like that's crazy. This was in chapter 3, so there was some prologue before this. But this is how Paul addressed this church. And he went on to say, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you're still not ready for it. He came to them, he preached to them, he gave them milk, and they're still not ready to advance to this next level of maturity that shows a stronger faith because they're still childish. So I do want to make it very clear, there is a difference between a childlike faith and a childish faith. Childlike faith knows that they're going to grow up. They know their place. They know who the authority is. They have this simple confidence in who God is. And they understand their lane. You don't have to tell a child they're shorter than you. They already know by their point of view. Childish faith is different. And that's this immaturity that we have to get past to step into this greater faith and fully accept this gift from God, this essential gift from God that we were given. Okay, Matthew 18, 3 through 5. If you're going to turn anywhere in your Bible today, this is the verse I want you to look at. This verse is a little long, but I do want to read it to you guys. So this is Jesus talking to the disciples. This was about half a chapter after Jesus tells the disciples, you guys have no faith, you couldn't perform shooing away a demon. There was a guy who was possessed by a demon. Peter tried to do it, and he's like, oh, I can't do it, Jesus. And Jesus is like, yeah, you're not trying very hard. You have no faith in me. And then this is the imagery that Jesus chose to use. He didn't choose to use a Goliath type of person with faith. He didn't choose to use this giant, powerful image of faith when we think of a warrior and someone who goes and fights battles and someone who gets rid of demons. Instead, Jesus said, truly I tell you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus doesn't always talk in absolutes, like never, but this is one of the times where he does, and he makes it apparent that you will never be invited into the kingdom of heaven if you do not humble yourselves to be a little child. Therefore, whoever humbles himself enough like this child is one of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one child like this into my home also welcomes me. We talk a lot about how when you love others, you're showing God's love to that person. We are being the embodiment of Jesus. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. When we go out and we serve our community, we connect with others, and we grow as a church family. We are the embodiments of Jesus. And now he's saying, when you welcome a little child, you are also welcoming me, because that child is as much of an embodiment of Christ as you are as a servant of mine. So childlike faith is simple, it's confident, it's needy and dependent, but also humble. This week, I had the absolute pleasure of telling a little girl, Jesus loves you. And she looked at me and goes, obviously. Okay. And then she goes, why wouldn't he? Do any of you guys want to say why I think Jesus wouldn't love me? Because I'm not going to tell a kid that. I'm not going to go up to them and go, well, I've done this in the past, and I did this, and this is a sin that I've done, and Jesus would have a hard time loving that. Instead, it was simple. Jesus loves you, duh. Of course he does. I'm lovable. That's what she knows, because she's not jaded from the rest of this world attacking her and the things that go on in life. She hears Jesus loves me, and she says, yeah, he does. Could you imagine if we woke up every morning with that confidence, that simplicity? Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. Amen. End of discussion. That would be life-changing. That would get rid of so much insecurity that we have and we hold on to, and these burdens that Jesus has said, don't worry about. I literally died for this. You no longer have to worry about it. And we go, I'm going to keep this one. I'm going to hold on to this one. I'm going to keep this one on my back, and I'm going to wear it around and kind of hide behind it, because, like, yeah, you love me, but do you really? And he's like, guys, there's a whole cross up there. That shows how much I love you, that sometimes we choose to ignore. And yet a childlike faith is Jesus loves me. Yeah, he does. He does love me. It has this confidence that when we say Jesus died for you, they go, yes, he did. I don't have to ask questions. I know that he died for me. They believe whatever you tell them, which is scary, but it also gives us the responsibility of we need to know our stuff before we go back there and talk to our kids. So the person up here has to know their stuff before they come and talk to you. If you are exhibiting this childlike faith that is able to receive the word of God, to read our Bible and go, yes, 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 yes. But it's not just a blind confidence, because you'll say something to a child and they'll come back with why? 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 And it happens over and over and over again, which is the same attitude that we can have because God will always be there to answer. We can be needy for his love and his answers, but at the end of the day, also understanding that, yeah, God loves me and that's enough because it's simple like that. There was a Danish philosopher that I read this week that challenged Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. Have you guys heard this? Natural selection, the stronger one wins, and all that stuff. So he was in 1883, around that area, and he wrote a book called Natural Law in the Spiritual World. A lot of people at that time saw natural law and spiritual world and go, these don't work. However, this guy was a biologist and an evangelist. So he believed in science and still went out and told everyone about the radical things that Jesus Christ did that cannot be explained away. So he wrote this book that was all about the natural law and the spiritual world. And he says, a science without mystery is unknown, and a religion without mystery is absurd. And that's a strong word. I don't hear that word often. Absurd? That's a pretty strong one. But it just shows the importance of not understanding everything. Kids don't know everything. No matter how many times you try to tell them, they don't know everything. Most of them understand that because they ask questions. How do you spell this? What is this? How do you do that? They're just trying to make sense of the world, which is okay because we are also trying to make sense of our world. Our world changes rapidly and change is hard to deal with. And Jesus knows that change is going to happen. He tells us, you may not understand now, but soon you might. Not soon you will, soon you might understand, because it's very possible that you'll never understand, but also that's okay. Because religion comes with mystery. Our relationship with God has no mystery in it. Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. We've established that. But yet everything else that gets down to the nitty-gritty details, there are just some things that we don't understand. And we have that faith. We believe in what we do not see. That gives us the simple, yes, he does. He loves me so much. If you take anything away from today, Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. Don't question it. There's nothing that you need to question about it. Not only is this faith needy, but it is dependent upon God. Did you guys know that we have 33,000 different denominations of Christianity? There are 33,000 global different people that believe slightly different variations that Jesus died on the cross. Some people may look at that with a negativity and be like, why can't we all agree? That's kind of weird. But I kind of look at that as, wow, that's 33,000 people that asked questions and God gave them living answers. We have this living text in front of us that changes and meets us where we're at in a way that we understand. And he gave us this ability to think critically, and it's a beautiful thing, and we all use that differently. And that's just a really cool fact I wanted to share with you guys today. And lastly, Jesus is humble. There's a hierarchy in kidsmen and in the world. When you grow up, you reach different steps. You may be hired on entry level, then make your way up to manager or director or CEO. I don't know what job you are in. But there is a hierarchy that acknowledges authority. And we have to acknowledge the authority that God has over our lives. There is nothing that little old me can do to change God's plan. I am simply here to be a part of it, not run it. I am an entry-level employee that just wants to be a part of the day-to-day production of what God has going on. I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ that serves my neighbors and loves this world. And that's what we're called to be, church. We're called to be humble, obedient servers of Christ that can acknowledge that God loves us, acknowledges that he needs us as a part of his journey, and is dependent and fully reliant on the strength of God. Because we are not stronger than God. I promise you, no matter how much you deadlift, you're not stronger than God. He's got this in the bag, and he's just invited us to be a part of this journey, and to that, we have to say thank you. We have to accept this gift of faith and live it out in the childlike manner that is simple, confident, needy, dependent, and humble, so that we can be accepted into the kingdom of heaven. Childlike faith is not a faith that leads blind. It's not an immature faith either. Instead, it's a faith that is constantly growing, is always asking questions, doesn't shy away from hard questions. I'm sure you guys have been asked a really hard question by a child. They don't shy away from the uncomfortable. They embrace it. And we are called to have that same attitude when we open up this Bible every morning, every hour, every time in our day that we have a question. We can't shy away from the hard things we might find, with the acknowledgement that we don't know everything and we're just doing our best. And we will always be growing, and we will always be seeking more and more answers from God. And we might not ever fully understand the goodness that he gives us, the love that he has for us that is everlasting, but we can continue to grow as a child would in their faith with God. So every morning when I pray, I start my morning with "Good morning, Jesus," because that's my guy, that's my friend. We hang, we talk, and this type of relationship that I have with Jesus, I try to instill in our kiddos, because it's so important that we can be real, honest, and true with the one who knows us best. There is nothing I can do to hide who I am from God. So instead of fighting it, I have personally chosen to embrace it. And we have talks in the car. He knows all the gossip. He knows everything going on in my life. And he already knew that. But now I get to say it out loud. And it's a wonderful morning that I get to start when I say, "Good morning, Jesus," because he is responsible for waking me up. He is responsible for giving me another day where his mercies are new every single morning. And I can embrace that and have this childlike faith that is always seeking and always hungry for more and more Jesus. So I would like to invite you guys to stand with me today. This week, we did luau arms into prayer hands, so you're welcome to do that if you want, but you don't have to. But this morning, I invite you to just accept Jesus into your heart as your best friend, as your go-to person, as the one that you want to spend the rest of your life serving and being in relationship with. So if you would all bow your heads with me this morning. Good morning, Jesus. Thank you so much for bringing us all into this beautiful place, spending time with our church family, and giving us a time of rest and relaxation amongst our busy lives. Lord, I thank you so much for the people in this room today and our neighbors in Springfield and the greater area as well. Lord, I pray that you have your hand on all of their lives and that they're able to go into this week knowing that their faith is essential to their relationship with you. Lord, I pray that we grow out of a childish faith and grow into a childlike faith so that we can serve you as a humble and needy individual. Lord, I pray that we understand that we don't got this. Lord, you've got this. You answer prayers. You give us what we need, and we are just happy to receive it. Lord, thank you for this church today. I pray that it was your words that were heard today and that they leave today knowing that you love them because obviously you love them. In your name, amen. Have a wonderful week, you guys. Thank you so much for coming. Stop by the Hub if you're new and see Harrison today.